With God, nothing will be impossible.
For he is our God.
And the God of salvation is making all things new.
Amen. Hello, and a really warm welcome to this national online service. I'm Helen Fraser. I'm a self-supporting minister in the Diocese of Southwark, and I'm also the Church of England's head of vocations. Today is the fourth Sunday of Easter. It's also known as Good Shepherd Sunday. The gospel readings traditionally focus our minds on Jesus as our shepherd, our guide, our leader, our protector, and as we continue in Easter, our risen Saviour. Today is also known as Vocation Sunday. Just as we think of Jesus, our shepherd, we also consider his call on each of our lives, the call to follow him day by day, the call perhaps to develop certain qualities of character, the call to particular relationships with others, and the call to particular roles and tasks, both in society and in the church. Our service today is gathered from a range of locations and contexts and different people, some of whom are, who are pursuing their own vocation, and some of whom whose job it is to support that. I hope that each of us will always have somebody alongside us to help us in our own vocation. So let us begin our service together with a moment's quiet to center our minds on Jesus, our shepherd, who calls each of us by name. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and also with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We say together the prayer of preparation. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Jane. I'm a ministry experience scheme participant in the diocese in Europe, and I've been serving my year in St. Clemens Prague in the Czech Republic. The year has been a wonderful journey for me in terms of thinking about what God's calling for me might be, a God-created being in the image of God, and as well as exploring Anglicanism as I come from a Korean Presbyterian background. So our reading today is from Acts chapter 4, verses 5 to 12. The disciples, Peter and John, have healed a beggar who was unable to walk, but then were arrested by the temple authority. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Thank you. I've been involved in youth ministry since graduating from being in the youth group itself. After I finished at school, I joined a church and I spent a gap year with them, just helping out wherever I could, but particularly being involved in kids groups and activities with young people. And while I was there, with like the support from people around me, I started to notice and wonder about a few things. I noticed how much I really enjoyed it. I noticed that I was kind of gathering some skills and some experiences that equipped me to keep going. I noticed that there was a real need for it. And not only was there a need for it, but there was an opportunity for me to be part of it. I think over time, I kind of started to notice the sweet spot between all of those things and wondered whether that maybe was a sign or like a nudge that there was something more for me in terms of being involved in youth ministry beyond just that year. I think that's what I've come to lean on sometimes as a way of just understanding what God might be calling me into. Last year, I had an interesting kind of moment. I was serving in a beautiful church. I was responsible for youth ministry, but my responsibilities were a bit wider than that. And my tasks, my duties, and the things I was involved in were pretty diverse. I then had an opportunity come up at a different church where the role would be really youth focused. A few people asked me to like think and pray about it, and I did. And as I did start to think about it, what I noticed was how quickly and how easily that idea of like a youth focused role captured my imagination. Captured my excitement, and I started to notice again that intersection between like need and opportunity, and I had a bit more experience under my belt by that point as well, and also like excitement and enjoying of the idea. As I prayed about it, talked with other people about it, I decided to explore the role, and long story short, I started this new role in October last year, and it's been really interesting and exciting to keep walking that journey, trying to ask God, you know, often, like, what do you want of me in this moment? But in living in that sweet spot, at least at the minute, just counting it a real privilege to live in what I think is God's calling on my life. Young people are incredible, aren't they? Amazing. I love their creativity and their joy and their curiosity and just the rawness with which they'll walk through life with you. Yeah, I count it a real privilege. To walk with God in this particular area of ministry.
Our gospel reading is from John, chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Well, we all know who shepherds are, don't we? They're the people who look after sheep. They're the people who wear tea towels in nativity plays. And the same was true in Jesus' day. Everyone would have understood who a shepherd was and what their responsibilities were. But for the people around Jesus listening to him speak, it has a much deeper, richer meaning, this talk of shepherds. You see, for the people of God, God has been described for generations as their shepherd. Right back at the end of Genesis, Jacob describes how God has been like a shepherd to him all through his life. When things are going bad for the people of God, Jeremiah talks about how God will come and judge leaders for being bad shepherds and will replace them with people who will be good shepherds over his people. And when things are bad for the people of God, Ezekiel comes and talks about how God himself will come and be a shepherd to his people. He will bring them into rich pasture. He'll bind up their wounds. He'll feed them with justice. He will be their shepherd, just as David proclaimed in that most famous, perhaps, of all Psalms, Psalm 23, "The Lord's my shepherd." So as Jesus talks about being a good shepherd, as people are hearing him speak in this way, all of these rich meanings will have been flashing in their minds. But hang on, Jesus, are you saying this about yourself? That you are like God, or are God, the shepherd? Using that word, that phrase, when Moses, back in the wilderness, said to God, "What's your name?" And God said, "I am who I am." You're saying, "I am the shepherd?" That's quite some claim, Jesus. And then Jesus talks about being the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Good shepherd? No, Jesus, I know you're a carpenter, but really, shepherds, no, they don't lay down their lives for the sheep. No, that's really inefficient and ineffective. You can get more sheep, Jesus, but if you die, you can't be raised back to life again. And yet, Jesus is here saying something about who he is and what he's called to do. He's using this rich image of being a shepherd to describe himself, but then developing it to help people understand what he's called to do, to become like the sacrificial lamb. And of course, he's speaking in the temple where lambs are quite literally being led to the slaughter in order to make atonement for sin. Jesus is bringing together this idea of sacrifice, this idea of shepherding, and using it to describe who he is and what he's called to do. On this Vocation Sunday, that's a really helpful way in for us to explore our own vocation. This sense of how it brings together the who we are and the what we're called to do. Too often when we think about vocation, we can go straight into, what is God calling me to do? What needs to be done here? What change needs to happen in order to see God's kingdom grow in this place? But we need to start back with the who questions. Who is the one we're following? Who is he calling us to become? Who is he calling us to serve? Who is he gifting to us to help us in this work? We need to be thinking first about the who questions. That moves us beyond our own gifts, our own resources, to a much deeper, much securer place. It roots our identity in our relationship with God, the one whom we are following, the one who calls us, the one who equips us, the one who sends us. And then when we're clear about the who, we can attend to the what, recognizing that it's not about us. Jesus says he lays down his life for the sheep. It's about others. And so it is with our own vocations. Called as we are, not to focus on ourselves. We're set free from that because we're clear about who we are. We're free in order to focus on the needs of others and what needs to happen in the world. Vocation, then, is about the who as well as the what. So this Vocation Sunday, may we all be refreshed in our understanding of who we are in Christ, of who he is calling us to become. And with that confidence and with that song in our hearts, may we go into the world to explore afresh what God is calling us to do, knowing that we don't go by ourselves, but we journey with Christ, with the Good Shepherd, as his under-shepherds, and that wherever we go, he is with us. He will lead and guide us. And together with him, we will discover our vocation, the who and the what together.
Let us pray. We pray for those called to minister as lay ministers, pioneers, church planters, deacons, and priests in your church. These roles can be very demanding and are indeed impossible if we seek to do them on our own. Thank you that every breath we breathe comes from you. Help us to look to you for our strength and direction as we minister in your name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, thank you that you invite all who love you into life-giving and gospel-sharing ministry. Please inspire people from every part of the church and every part of the nation to share your love in word and deed, we pray. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our nation and the wider world, where good news and joy is often silenced and stifled by the challenges we or others face or often cause. Jesus, who came to be Prince of Peace, would you make us people of peace and enable us to set an example of peace in how we live our lives day by day? We pray that war may cease throughout the world and that justice and peace may come in its stead. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those we know who are sick or struggling in body, mind, or spirit. Would you provide for every need? Send us to weep with those who weep, and follow your example in calming storms in your name, where we have the opportunity to do so. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Make us disciples who love not just your way, but love you. Make us disciples who make disciples who do the same, we pray. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Risen Christ, faithful shepherd of your Father's sheep, teach us to hear your voice and to follow your command, that all your people may be gathered into one flock to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Gathering our prayers and praises into one, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us in this service. We close with a blessing. God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, strengthen you to follow him in his risen life and to hear his call. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you today and always. Amen.